3000. We'll start off, though, with another friend of the show. It's Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Jeff.
You doing well?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Yep.
Beautiful. Now, we'll talk about high-speed rail in 2 seconds, but I just see that the opposition defence spokesman, because first day in Parliament today, they're all very fired up, talking about Afghanistan, and he wants to send more troops over to Afghanistan, because after the claims that the diggers aren't getting enough support, where do you stand on that?
Well, listen, the Afghanistan war, as with the Iraq war, was a complete disaster for all the countries involved. United States, for Australia in particular, there is absolutely no reason for Australian troops to be in Afghanistan today, and we should pull them back as soon as possible.
Right.
Look, the issue in Afghanistan is that unless you have a real war against the enormous amounts of drugs being grown in particularly the five southern provinces of Afghanistan, and cut off the flow of drugs and the drug money that's going into the Taliban, you're not going to be able to actually win the war. Now, the problem is that President Obama in the United States has refused on a number of occasions to allow his generals to actually fight a war against drugs. And you have the Russians as well, and also the Pakistani government, that actually do want to fight a war against drugs, because that's where the money is coming from to fund this thing.
Right.
So at the moment, you're talking huge volumes of money coming from the drug trade. $4 billion of a potential $1 trillion US annually is developed from the sale of drugs out of that area. It's flooding into southern Russian provinces and so former states, and it's destroying populations all over the place. Mm. But more importantly, that money is feeding into the global financial system and propping it up as well. Now, when I say that Obama is protecting it, look, he's had, for example, he's fought the former Defense Secretary Gates, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a guy by the name of Mullen, and the CENTCOM commander Petraeus on Afghanistan policy. They want to go after the drugs, but he's saying, no, we're not going to go after the drugs.
Why is that?
Well, because, look, politically, Obama is a puppet of the British Empire, the financiers. When I say the emperor, I'm not talking about the old redcoats and what the British Empire was like 200 years ago. I'm talking about the financial empire that governs the current global monetary policy that we see today, where central banks govern the individual policies.
Well, so they're making too much money out of Afghanistan, you reckon?
Well, it's propping up the system because, as I've said on your show, many times, we have this enormous problem with debt in the international monetary system. You've seen the problems with Europe, debt defaults there. The banks, in fact, are very much bankrupt because of the huge amount of speculation and debt. And
what happens to the Taliban if we pull out of Afghanistan and give them a free run?
Well, at the end of the day, Jeff, it's going to be up to the people of Afghanistan and the local people in that area to solve the problem. It's not going
to
be...
But they can't, so the problem will come to our shores, won't it?
Because it won't come to our shores.
We're not there to save Afghanistan. We're just there to take on the Taliban. We're not there to build a nation.
But we're basically participating in a civil war. That's what we're actually promoting. You've had the Russians prior to the US going and invading Afghanistan on the pretext of stamping out al-Qaeda after 9/11. But the point is that you've had the Russians in there for 10 years before that. You had the CIA funding various elements, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan prior to that.
Mm.
This place is an absolute mess. And look, the only way that you're going to solve this particular problem of Afghanistan is to have the regional countries in the area, the ones that surround Afghanistan, they're the local neighbours. They have to have a policy of engagement to help develop the very backward infrastructure and the economy of Afghanistan. They have to take it over several years.
They're all basket cases, though. You can't. How do you expect that?
Well, Russia's not a basket case.
You sure?
No. If they use their combined sovereign powers, Jeff, they can actually begin to. And it's a different policy other than globalisation and this drug trade policy. You can have all sorts of different development and potentials in that area, but you're not going to have it whilst you're basically poisoning the population of southern Russia and in Russia with opiates and same with the population of Afghanistan.
Mm. No, the drug trade is a problem.
Now, that's the bottom line with the war in Afghanistan is the drugs.
Mm, no, it's a fair call. Now, one of the promises for that came out during the federal election, particularly parts of Sydney were promised a bit of a high-speed rail network, and they're also talking about them running up and down the east coast, funneling people into Sydney so they could live further out in regional centres. But you don't think it'll work?
I absolutely do think it'll work, but it has to be built around a completely different economic idea. What's laughable is that when they came out with this promise, the Labor Party came out with a promise during the election of $20 million for a feasibility study for a high-speed rail system from Brisbane down through Newcastle area into Sydney, then across to Canberra and then across to Melbourne. You could immediately say, well, these guys aren't serious. I mean, this is just a gimmick to get us over the line. And
Why is that? Isn't $20 million enough to spend on a feasibility study?
Feasibility study to go nowhere when already there was a report come out into Anthony Albanese's office back in March to say that the thing wasn't viable.
Right.
I mean, they already knew that their line was going to be that it wasn't going to be viable. Why isn't it viable? Every single infrastructure development project in our country today has to be built on the model of PPPs, private-public partnerships,
right,
where the government makes the effort to set everything up so that private interests can come over, take it over and run it. And therefore it has to be run on a for-profit user-pay system.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you lose the actual platform or the effect of what infrastructure does. Infrastructures are like arteries. You put them in order to be able to expand the potential, the physical economic potential of certain regions. And they complained, in particular the latest report, that there's not enough cities in our country areas, or there's not enough cities between which these trains would run. And, well, that's the whole argument.
That's the point, though, isn't it?
We want to decentralize from the cities. We want to build more cities in the country areas and develop the areas further out, rather than having everyone coming into the cities.
Mm.
But then they say, well, we don't have enough population to do that. Well, hang on a sec. Haven't we been hearing that the whole of Australia is overpopulated, that there's too many people in the cities?
If you were a betting man, and once they spend this $20 million on $20 million, isn't that ridiculous? Would you say that essentially they'll go, well, we did what we said we'd do. We put in the feasibility study. Turns out it's not such a great idea. Job's done.
They have no intention of building this, Jeff, because it's not going to make a buck underneath the economic rationalism policies that they intend to. I mean, even within their own figures, they're saying that, like, for example, a high-speed Sydney to Melbourne railroad with an average speed of 250 kilometres an hour would mean a journey of 3 hours, which is the upper limit time for a train to be competitive with airlines. Well, hang on a sec. China's producing rail high-speed trains, not magnetic levitation trains, but just normal wheel-on-track trains that are running at an average speed of 350 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
Right? High-speed magnetic levitation train systems that are being built, test tracks in Germany, and there's been actual operational systems that maybe some of your listeners have been on in China, are running at 500 kilometres an hour.
Gee.
It's completely feasible to have a high-speed rail network in this country, but it has to be done for the purpose of building it for increasing the physical economic output of the country, of overcoming the tyranny of distance, and allowing us to place industries and people into areas so that tyranny of distance is overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the point of view of trying to make bankers and investors rich first and foremost.
See, sometimes things just do cost money. If you think, say, the last big infrastructure project I think most people would think of the top of their head would be the Snowy Mountains scheme. And where's while that facilitated, water security and agricultural areas and things like that, but also, but in terms of the system actually making money on itself, does it make money or did it?
Through the hydro electricity, Jeff. That is it. Hydroelectricity is a form of energy storage, in that the water that is in those dams, if the dams are even enlarged, means you've got a energy security in those dams for a certain period of time.
Right.
Those dams have been built since the late 1940s, early 50s, and it's been producing electricity ever since then.
Hmm.
It's also been stabilising the water supply down the Murrumbidgee system, into the Murray-Darling system, So you've had irrigation, large-scale irrigation, right throughout that particular area for now a couple of generations. So the cost is not just the one-up capital cost, it's the ongoing physical, economic, and actual economic cost over the many years when these projects are completed. And I always come back to the cost of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which was $50 million at one point. And that was back in the 30s, and it seemed to be a huge amount of money.
Mm.
But the amount of economic development that was possible on the North Shore of Sydney is absolutely huge compared to what wouldn't have been possible had they not been able to build the Sydney Harbour Bridge, extend a railroad, and build the underground that were all part of that large scale project designed by Dr. J.J.C. Bradfield and also supported by Jack Lang at that time.
Well, there you go. No, and while we always advocate to gamble responsibly, but geez, you can bet on anything these days, so take your money down and bet on the fact this high-speed rail thing won't be happening. Craig, if people want to find out more?
Well, we've got quite a bit of material on development, economic development, physical economic infrastructure on our website, Jeff. It's www.cecaust.com.au.
Terrific. Well, we'll catch you next week.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Craig Isherwood from the CEC. Back after this with more of your calls, 822-3-A-A-A.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? It's not...